long time since I've seen you in this kind of perspective. It's good to see you. Those who don't know who I am, you're doing perfectly good. Don't worry about it. I was the former pastor here. Don't know how you want to handle all that decades. So right, Pastor Don's out playing. He's got some pinch hitters coming up. I think Sean is next week. I'm excited to hear about that. Okay, so we're going to talk about faith today. Okay? Not my faith, your faith. I want to talk about how to get unstuck. We want to examine your faith story today and how you represent your life before God and deal with the problems in your life. That ought to be interesting. Let's pray. Hey, Father, thank you for allowing us to be here like this today. I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your mercy. I want to thank you that you are so much a part of what we're doing. Watch over our pastor. Take care of him, he and Liz. And Lord, just provide for them. But as we're here and we're nourishing on your word, be glorified in it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Excuse me, I got to move these. Because I stand up here, not down there, and then I walk a lot, and then I trip over things. So the question is your faith story. Now let's look at some scripture real quick, because everything we're going to be talking about really sort of hinges on these. First one is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It should be up here on the screen. For we walk by faith and not by what? Now, what does that mean? Now, so when we walk, does that mean when I walk down the road, I'm looking for faith everywhere I go? Okay, so the word walk there really means, it's a euphemism for the way that I live. Now, NLT says, for we live by believing and not by seeing. So the idea when you put these together is that as I go through life and I encounter life events, good events, events that I wish that God would have left out of my life. Okay? No matter what happens, that when I encounter these events, I'm going to act, I'm going to live, I'm going to behave in a way that believes God is in charge. Bad things happen. God is still what? In charge. Things happen that I wish God would just take away. But God is still, there's another word for it in doctrine land. We call it the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign. God is ruler. So all, by the way, does anybody here have a problem? That sort of sets you up there. Now, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. For everyone, now, you might want to circle that in your notes. By the way, it's right there. It's in your worship folder. For everyone who has been born of God. So you got to answer this question now. Are you born of God? Have you had a second birth? Do you know that if you die today, that you're going to stand before God? All right? And you know that it's going to be well with your soul. Or if God was to ask you, hey, why should I let you in here? You're going to say, well, I knew Pastor Jack once upon a time. I actually had a guy in Yuma do that to me. He was my next door neighbor, Border Patrol guy. And he thought he was going to heaven because he knew a Baptist pastor. And I said, hey, I hang out with that group. I wouldn't do that if I were you. But here I am. I'm saying I believe in God. We'll come back more to that faith aspect with God. I believe in God. God is in charge. But everyone who has been born of God, oh, wow, overcomes the world. Now, are you putting this together? Everyone who is in Christ, who has been born of God, who's had that second birth, who has Jesus living in them, has the Holy Spirit empowering them, who indwells them, overcomes the world. I'm waiting for Steven Spielberg kind of music in the background with that. And this is the victory, he says, that has overcome the world, our faith. Now you might say, well, Jack, you know, that'd be really good for you. But you see, I'm not really a person that has that much faith. Jesus said, hey, if it's this small, you can still move a mountain. So you really, I mean, you cannot be in Christ and not have faith. Okay? Now, you could not be using your faith. Your faith could be very dysfunctional, but it's there. Now, here's the scary thing. The Bible tells us that we live what we really believe about God. See, now, when we come to church, we're really nice people. You know, we shake hands, we hug, we just like talking, we like eating. I mean, we do all these really kind of spiritual things, right? And so we think all is right in the world. Not. See, the thing is, we think that because we're nice people, because we're good people, because we sort of have this relationship with God, then that faith aspect of my life, God's got it covered, and I'm a believer. Can I just sort of tell you that it doesn't work that way? And that's what we're going to be dealing with today. In Christianity, there's a lot of people who talk about Jesus, and they talk about Jesus a lot. And by the way, we should, because we are absolutely nothing without him. But what we don't talk about enough is faith. We don't constantly talk about what we believe about God. Okay, so take that problem that you have. Take that thing that you're struggling with, that problem that is bigger than you are. And I want you to ask yourself this: how am I speaking into my problem faith? How am I saying about my problem? Problem, this is what I believe about God. And I believe God has authority over you. And I believe I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to like what I'm going through. By the way, you there's nothing in the Bible that says, oh, by the way, everything that happens in life you're going to like. Okay? In fact, we know that God allows things to happen in your life that we really wish that God did not allow, simply so that we can grow. Because we're lazy. And we will not actively grow in our faith if God does not give us events in which we must exercise that faith. Now, let's build on that. There's something called problem-saturated story. The problem-saturated story. Now, this comes from counseling land, all right? In counseling land, there's this modality. A modality of counseling is a theory about how we look at our lives and we try to manage them. So there's this modality called narrative therapy. Anybody ever hear narrative therapy? Okay? The narrative therapy is based upon the premise or the idea that we have grown up living out other people's stories about our life. Okay? Mom told, you know, she had a story about us, right? Dad had a story about us. Our friends had a story about us. Our school had a story about us. Some said I was a loser. Some said I was okay. Some said I was always rebellious. I had a very intimate relationship with the vice principal of my junior high. And my mom would see him on a regular basis till one day they uninvited me. But anyway, we'll move past that. So a problem-saturated story is built off of this because I begin believing what other people have said about me. By the way, it comes down to, do you hear voices in your head? My wife often will tell our kids, our girls, that voice you hear in the back of your head, that is me. But because we have these voices speaking, and by the way, they're normally not saying nice things, and we're choosing to believe them, it robs us of our power. Now, the one thing I like about psychology, okay, is that it's really good about being a problem stater. Not very good at being a problem solver, so let's go on to faith. Now, here it is. A problem-saturated story says this: let me tell you how big my problem is. And I can tell you this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. And when I'm done with my story, it does not stop me at all. I go right back and I repeat the exact same thing that I just got done telling you. And this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. And you're trying to be a nice Christian listening to this person. And after a while you're going, I mean, can't you get over it? And the answer is absolutely no. And so what happens is we buy into these problem-saturated stories. All we see is the negativity about what's happening in my life. I begin believing this negativity. I begin walking in this negativity. And then I come to church and I smile. Then I go home and I go, and you aren't living the life that God called you to live, that Jesus Christ died for you to live. But you're living in your problem as if that is sovereign over your life. Now, a common Christian practice then is like this. We will spend telling God how big our problem is rather than spending our time telling our problem how big our God is. You see the difference when the problem-saturated story takes over? The time is spent in saying, but God, please, you just got to take this away from me. God, it's not fair. And you know, and I think God loves you. I really do. So how many times do you think that God ought to listen to you talk like that? Before he sort of whops you upside the head. Now, I do a lot of Christian counseling. Almost everybody that I work with is a Christian. In fact, when I'm talking with them, I'll say, well, you know that this is Christian counseling. I'm a retired pastor, and so I do a lot of faith talk. I do a lot of God talk. Are you going to be okay with that? Oh, yeah, we're Christians. And I'm going, uh-huh, okay, let's see. And so I listen to their problem-saturated story. Everybody's got one. Okay? Everybody's got one. And then I say, well, what does your faith say about this? And they look at me. I don't know. Well, so that's what we spend our time dealing with. Somehow, we've got to speak faith into what we, and that would be what we believe about God, into our problem. See, now, some people are under bondage to their problems. There are some people who deny that they have problems. There are believers who minimize their problems. But then there are believers who speak God's truth into their problems. And you need to answer today, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you under your problems or are you walking through them under the power of the Holy Spirit? So to get there, now all that was introduction, aren't you glad? We need to talk about your faith story, okay? Your faith story about God. What you believe about God that is so significant, that it is more powerful, that it is more enriching, that it is more indwelling, it is more victorious than what anybody else has who's not a believer. And relationship to your problems. I have bad news for you. Your problems aren't going to go away. Okay? And the good news is, when that one's done, you say, God, how long? Well, you ask him that when you see him in heaven. Now, let me get one of my favorite verses, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him. Who's him? Okay, just touching base. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond or above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in other people. No? Did I do that wrong? According to the power that works in us. Who's us? Anyone who's a believer. Because what I believe about God is bigger than what I believe about my problems. Now, my problems are real, but so are my God. Which one has authority? Which one's bothering you the most? Your problem. Well, take the one with the authority and put it into your problems. Now, we're going to talk about what that looks like in a little bit. But this verse, I got to tell you about this verse. I was introduced to this verse, you know, as a young, I was 27 years old. I used to have brown hair. Just letting you know. But Gertrude White. You remember that name, Gertrude White. She was the typical little white-haired lady. She was as thin as a rail. She was fragile. And this was her verse. And every Sunday you would hear her say, "And to him who can do exceedingly above and beyond everything." And yes, Gertrude, yes. That was her verse. When you're feeling lost and alone, and when you're feeling like nobody cares, your faith story is about whether or not your God is bigger than your problems. Now, I want you to think about this, because what you believe about God affects the way that you think and feel about your problems. Or at least it should. What I believe about God. Is God capable? Yes. Is God present? Yes. Does God care about what you're going through? Yes. Does God have a solution? Yes. Will you like that solution?
Not necessarily.
I've got a lot of church sort of history behind me. Can you believe that about me? Been to seminary, been to Bible school. Actually, I've been in school longer than I want to think about. And I know this stuff. And there's no place in the Bible that says God will not let me hurt. There's no place in the Bible that says when I'm in pain, God's just going to take that pain away. But the typical Christian belief is, if I'm good, God will protect me from pain. And that it is wrong for God to allow me to have pain because I am good. Oh, give me a break. That is the thought we think. Isn't that, God, why did you allow this to happen? God, you know, I pray. I go to church. Well, my line was, God, I'm the pastor. You know? Yeah. Here's the scary thing. Unfortunately, too many believers don't think much about God. So here's the punchline. There is a difference between what you say you believe about God and your faith story. Remember that line that parents tell their kids? Do you know what I'm going to say? No, my dad said it's going to hurt you, period. But no, it's, do what I say and not what I do. Totally non-Christian. And so what that means is what I do is struggle with my faith, but my faith story that I try to tell people, oh, everything's okay. I'm all right. It'll work out. And you're dying inside. Back to our key verse, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith. See, you don't have to work hard to get God to hear you. He's working hard for you to hear him. Allow him to speak into your problems, speak into your struggle, to speak into your pain. See, faith by definition is simply trusting God. God, I believe so much in you. I believe that you can take what I'm going through and make something good come out of it. I think there's a scripture verse in that in the book of Romans. All things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So we have to ask that question, do you trust God? Now don't say that out loud. Do you trust God? So what I want you to do is I want you to scale it. On a scale of 1 to 10, or if you need more numbers, 1 to 100. What is the likelihood that when you have a big problem, that you will trust God with it and walk in his ways, knowing he's got it, you're going to be okay, regardless of what happens with this? Rather than the other choice is freak out, act out, and question whether or not God loves you. What's the probability that as you have this encounter in life that you are going to step out and say, God, you're with me, I'm okay. Even though I'm going through this, I'm okay. Scale it. 50%? That would be 5. 30%? That's a 3. 10%? Yeah, that's a 1. Where would you put it? Now I'll ask you this, where does God want you to put it? See, my faith story, like a narrative story, how I see myself, my faith story sees how what God is doing in my life and how I'm allowing his power to invest in me, how I'm choosing to live and see my world in which I live, and how I will choose to stand for God in the midst of it. My faith story represents all the times that I've said, God, I trust you. And then I caved. And I did it my way. But it also represents the times that I actually did trust him. And I did it his way. My failures and my successes. We have both. Don't forget that. We have both. Your faith story about God will determine the level of happiness and victory that you experience in life. If you are robbed of victory right now, if you're robbed of compassion, if you're robbed of just the joy of life because the pain has been so overwhelming, much like the waves of the ocean just crashing over you, that's just called simple pain, folks. And guess what? Every one of us have it. Can't stop that from happening in you. Okay? But when it begins, now we begin to see how you are going to walk in Christ. You with me? God knows you're hurt. God knows you're struggling. And God says, okay, now, are you going to keep on telling me about your problem, or are you going to start telling your problem about me? And the changes we're going to make. But how many of you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for you? How many of you believe when you die, you're going to heaven? I sure hope you're right. Well, I got a question for you. How can you trust God with your salvation, but not trust him with your problems? How can you have so much confidence? Yes, I'm going to heaven. And your problem comes up. God, where are you? Look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know this one? Yeah. Trust in the Lord with some of your heart. I'm just telling you the way I see people live it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And leaning on your own understanding sort of be like me trying to lean on this. Ain't going to happen. It'll fall. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, understand, if you will, that understanding means the way that you view your problem. Lean not in what you think about your problem. Lean not in how big you think it is. how powerful it is, how hopeless it is, how consuming it is, don't go there. But instead, acknowledge Him in everything that you do, and then He's going to walk you through it. He'll direct your paths. I love Psalms 23. You've heard me talk about this before for some of you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What I hate about that verse is nobody tells you how long that valley is. Okay? That's sort of like trying to walk through Apple Valley. It's going to take some time to do that. See, we think, because this is the way they do it in the movies, that everything ought to be done in 45 minutes, because you got to allow 15 minutes of commercial. So what would it look like? What would it look like if I was actually applying this verse to my life? Well, there's actually an Old Testament representation of it, and it's found in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, and it's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they're good Jewish boys who go into captivity when Babylon conquers Israel, and the king had an edict that everybody, when they heard all this music, that they were supposed to bow down, all the people bow down and worship the king as God. Okay? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not do that because they only had one God. So they were going to honor their God. And so by the way, there's always a snitch. They got told on. They're brought before the king. And they said, now, I'm going to play that music. And when I play that music, you're going to bow down, you're going to worship me as God. And they said, sorry, king, we're not going to do that. And so he said, okay, tell you what. So he heats up the fire, what, 3 times, 7 times hotter than it normally is? It's put so hot that when they go to throw him in, the guys that were going to throw him in died without being in the fire. That's how hot it was. And so here it is. He says, and the verse before this says, and what God is there that will be able to save you from this fire? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But, you really ought to circle that in your Bible. But, even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. My God is able, but even if he allows this problem to continue, even if it is consuming, even if I'm getting lost in the midst of it, he's the one I'm going to hold on to. Because I serve him and not my problem. So let's turn now and talk about solutions. See, a victorious faith story, let's start building that. A faith story is about what I believe about God in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of crisis. And you know, there are some losses, there are some injuries that appear unforgivable, that appear to be irreconcilable. And that is because of all the other stories we've believed in life. So I have to ask you, if you're going through that right now, what is God's story about it? See, a victorious faith story is built on small acts of faith. If you want to build a strong faith story, you must be living daily in small acts of faith so that when the big exam comes, you're ready for it. How do I do that? I got 5 things I want to share with you. 1, daily practice spiritual basics. I tell everybody this. By the way, I work, I've already told you, I do a lot of counseling. Anyway, I work with people who say they're Christians. And one of the first things I ask them is like, well, tell me about your relationship with God. How often do you spend time with him? Oh, I pray all the time. Okay. Are you reading your Bible on a regular basis? Well, I used to. You having a quiet time? No. Are you going to church? Sometimes. And when you talk to God, what do you talk about? Oh, you talk about the problem. Problem-saturated story. I said, oh, well, can we tweak this? What would it be like for you to every morning when you get up to spend time in the Word? And I connect them to an app called YouVersion. You guys have heard me talk about that before. And start reading scripture verses about what they're dealing with and what God says about it. And then spend about 15 minutes between Bible reading and prayer before God. We begin talking about what worship would look like. I have them practice actually exercises in which they envision, they imagine crawling up into God's lap and Him holding them and loving on them, and for them to practice just praising God. In the midst of their struggle, just use praise. Did you know that God inhabits the praise of His people? We forget praise and worship in the midst of our problems. See, one of the biggest hindrances, or one of faith's biggest hindrances, is that we get sidetracked by, we get lost in our pain. We begin believing more in the pain than we do God. You sort of see how that happens. It's really, really simple. And so when I'm practicing the basics, when I'm just spending time in worship, when I'm spending time in praise, when I was a student, my youth pastor and his wife had a stillborn baby. And he told me once the story that he stood at the grave of their baby, and he just had tears in his eyes. And there's no joy in that. You can say, well, be blessed, brother! That would be totally wrong, because you're just saturated in pain. And that's appropriate. It's supposed to be there. But he said with tears, he just looked up and he just began to praise God. Said, God, you've got this. You've got this. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I'm lost here. But God, I trust you. For you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. See, when we're in pain, we begin asking the wrong kinds of questions of God. We almost always begin with the question, yeah, why God? You know, why did you allow this to happen? But let me tell you some things you should be asking. You should ask who. Who, God, do you want me to be in the midst of this problem? What? What, God? What faith action can I take that will glorify you? How? God, show me in the next step just to walk through this. So many other questions that we could ask that would begin opening the door of possibility rather than hearing the problem-saturated stories of life that have been put on me from growing up since childhood. I begin practicing spiritual basics. Two, saturate yourself in spiritual things. Saturate yourself in spiritual things. This is worship, small group Bible study, meditating on the Word, scripture memory, telling people about Jesus. Oh, that's a good thing to do. Did you know that in the midst of life problems? Did you know there are people out there that hurt worse than you? If you think you're doing really bad, go find somebody who's hurting worse than you and go minister to them. How about abiding in Christ? Wouldn't that be novel? For some, it's a short story. What we don't want is for you to saturate yourself in your opinion. There's a guy down on the dock. Now, this is boater language, okay? Boater language. Your boat is at a dock. And ours is in Long Beach at Shoreline Marina. And we have a catamaran. And so there's this guy, his boat is way at the end, way down there, and he always has to walk by our boat. And we've got our boat backed in, so we see everybody comes by. And he knows I'm a pastor, so he always tries to throw in this spiritual thing. And he says, I pray all the time. I walk down the dock, and my hands are like this, and I'm just talking with God. And I'm going, oh, no. In my head, I'm saying, no, what you're doing is you're talking your opinion about God. You're not talking to God. I asked him one time about whether or not he reads his Bible. No, I don't have time for that. Can say at one time in his life, you know, there was this relationship with God, but he doesn't really can't say much about that story right now. So we had another conversation this last week about that, and I just began suggesting to him. He said, you know, how about you just find a place in your Bible, and then someplace in the New Testament, you pick it, and just read a little bit, and just start saying what God has to say about life. Why? Because if I'm saturated in my opinion, I'm going to the wrong source of solutions. So as I saturate myself in the things of God, okay, in spiritual things, I'm practicing the basics, and I'm saturating myself in things that are like God and have the nature of God, then I'm going to be able to think things about God. I'm going to be able to see what the Word of God says about how God wants me to step forward in this. And let me tell you, you're going to find things that you're going to say, God, can you give me a different one? Love your enemy. Do good to those who despitefully use you. Not him, Lord. Not going to do that. Are you a sinner? Well, absolutely I'm a sinner. Is that person a sinner? Absolutely. They're just a worse sinner than I am. Yeah, what's your faith story again? So, practice daily faith. Practice daily faith. What's the one thing that God has recently been trying to get you to change in your life? Just one thing. God's been trying. Now, you notice I say the word trying because it's been repetitive. That means you're aware of it and you said, no, God. Can I just sort of advance you, you know, into a more positive direction, if you would allow me to? Every time you say no, God is reaching for the baseball bat. Just saying. Now, he would really want a faith response out of you to where you're trusting him and you're walking in him. And God says, well, if we can't do it the nice way, how about I really mess up your life so that you have to look at me? Now, I've gone through baseball bat theology already in my life. I do not recommend it to anybody. But I can tell you that God's trying to get you to work on it. So the question then is, how does God want you to work on it today? Can you make it practical? That one thing that God wants you to work on. And if you tell me, well, God, Jack, there's just nothing that God wants me to work on. Yeah. What that really means is you're so disconnected from God, you're not listening to him. Well, you say, well, Jack, there's something that I need to be working on, but I don't know what God wants me to do about it. Well, did you know that you can ask God? Did you know that God, if you ask him, will give you plenty of opportunity to work on it? And how you respond to that is your faith story. Do you hear it? Do you see it? Do you hunger for that obedience? Do you hunger for that sovereignty in your life and whatever you're going through, and to do it God's way, and to see God's light, and to see God's promises, and to see a fulfillment that you can't even believe is possible, but saying, but God, I know you are bigger than me, and I know you're bigger than my problem. Now, can I tell you what my favorite response is to that? I always say yes, but God, you got to show me how. Because I don't want to say no more. I've been there. But when I say yes, I'm going to have to, but God, I don't know how. Okay, God can work with that as long as you keep saying yes. And you just begin walking it. Until one day you've walked far enough, you can look back and you see you walk through it. And that is your faith story. And how you're honoring God in the midst of it. So here we go. What scripture verse are you trying to memorize today? What relationship needs grace and faith? Just just ideas to work with, you know. What's the next step in your journey? And you want to take that step in such a way that you're honoring God and not justifying your opinion about the problem. We do not believe what we do not practice. I'll say it again just in case you missed it. We do not believe what we do not practice. Because the nature of the kingdom of God is different than the things of the world. Anybody can live like the world. But to live the principles of the kingdom of God is to say, no, I can't give in to that. That's an addiction. Might need to go to CR. Okay. I can say I believe. I can say I like what I believe. But that's not faith. That's just opinion. You can say, I like God. He's pretty smart. Yep, that's true. But then you move on to something else. See, my life is not changed by opinion. It's changed by acts of faith, acts of trusting God. Lean not in your own understanding. For we live by faith and not by sight. Number four, regularly share with other people what God is doing in your life. You have to be a part of a small group to do that, by the way. Regularly share what God's doing. Hey, I got this problem. I don't know how to handle it. But can I tell you the latest thing that God's done in this? See, now I'm not talking about how big my problem is. Now I'm talking about how big my God is. Let me share with you what God's doing in my life in the midst of this. And not done, and not over with. I really wish it was. But let me share with you what God's doing. Now, here's the thing that gets everybody about faith. Faith does not make my problems go away. It just makes walking through them possible. Okay? Faith can move mountains. Right now, I'm the mountain that needs to be moved. Regularly share what God's doing in your life. It's probably one of the most positive things that you can do to build a solid faith walk. Because you're constantly just praising God, letting other people know those praises of what God can do, is doing in your life. Excuse me. And finally, we'll wrap up with this. Set your mind on the things of God. Set your mind on the things of God. Now, again, that problem-saturated story problem is I'm looking at how big this is and how ugly that is. And right now, my life, my thoughts about my life are full of negativity. Anybody, I won't ask if you're there. Anybody ever been there? Uh-huh. And so my life is so full of negativity. Yeah, it's just taking me down. So what I want to do is I want to set my mind on the things of God and just start filling all these empty spaces all with the things of God and what God's doing in me. But as you do this, there's this real key to doing this, okay? If I'm going to set my mind on the things of God, I've got to take out the trash. I've got to not the one in my trash can, but you know, ever since the town of Apple Valley made us start putting our biodegradables in a separate trash can, have you had this experience that it stinketh? Do you think your life is any different? If you don't take out the trash, it will stink. And so if I'm going to live this Christian life, as I'm stepping out in faith, as I'm reading the Word, as I'm saturating myself in the presence of God, I'm doing my prayer time, I'm meditating upon the Word, I'm doing the praises of God. Oh yeah! What about your sin? What are you going to do about it? But God, I feel completely justified thinking these thoughts about that person. Take out the trash. Can't fill yourself full of God and full of your pain. Can't stop pain from happening, but you, just don't build it, man. That's a problem-saturated story. Take out the trash. So I got a question for you. What's your faith story like? Are you happy with your faith story? Are you able to share that faith story with others? Would you be willing to start building that faith story with others? Is the one you're living the one you want to live by? You can change it at any time. And God is more than willing to help you change it. But you got to start today. Why do you got to start today? Because if you sleep on it, tomorrow you won't. There's got to be something you're willing to give to God today and tomorrow and the day after to live it for Him. And we're all travelers in this journey of faith stories. Would you encourage somebody in theirs? Would you share what God is doing in your life with someone else and ask them what God is doing in their life as well? Could that become a habit in the groups in which we meet in, where we're talking more about God than we are about our whining? Is there a place of praise in your life? Let's pray. Father, thank you. I rejoice in you. Help us to glorify you, even in the midst of our stupidity sometimes, our struggles, but do it in a way in which you are uplifted, in which you are magnified, which, Father, you are glorified. In your name we pray. Amen.